This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we continue to observe Black History Month, there are many heroes who get recognized for their enduring contributions to society, for their work on civil rights, toward equity and a more just, perfect union. I'm sure you've heard names, obviously, Martin Luther King Jr., Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, W.E.B. Du Bois, among many others. And then there are some who get less recognition, despite putting their indelible mark on history. And one of these unsung heroes of Black history is Nance Leggins Cosley, an Illinois woman who is often referred to as the first slave that Abraham Lincoln freed, but whose story goes far beyond that narrative. She's not just part of Lincoln's story, but instead fought a brave fight for her own freedom, having her case heard by the Illinois Supreme Court three times before finally winning freedom in 1841. Today, the gravesite of Nance Leggins Cosley, however, in Peoria, is paved over by asphalt. It's a parking lot, basically, and it's under other businesses. This is after the city sought to develop the area, but failed to relocate her and other graves in the cemetery that was once there and was her final resting place. Joining us now to talk about the life and legacy of Nance Leggins Cosley are Carl Adams, a Lincoln scholar and author of the young adult book, Nance, The Trials of the First Slave Freed by Abraham Lincoln, a true story of Mrs. Nance Leggins Cosley. Hello, Carl. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Mr. Mackey.
We also have with us Catherine Harris, former president of the Abraham Lincoln Association and the first African-American and woman to hold that position. She's also the former president of the Illinois Library Association. Hello, Catherine. Thank you for being with us today as well.
And hello, and thank you for having me today. Hi, Carl.
Hello.
Listeners, if you'd like to join our conversation, you have a questions for one of our guests. Our lines are open at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. Carl, I want to begin with you. What can you tell us about Nance Leggins Cosley's early life and her, I guess, the situation into which she was born?
Well, basically, her living circumstances were with middle-class and upper-class families. And so, by and large, she lived in brand-newly built two-story log cabins, except where she was born in Kaskaskia, which was an old French structure. But after that, she lived in newly built two-story log cabins as a domestic servant to a family. And she lived, for the most part, in a female-dominated household. Because all the men were each land speculators, and so they were always gone away from home making land deals. So she lived in a female-dominated household. The one that she was in most of it was a mother of five, and named Roba Bartlett, and then grandmother Jane Cox, who testified in Nance's behalf in court. And so I believe that Grandma Jane and Nance were allies, or at least had a very good understanding with each other. And sure. So mostly Nance raised children, and the oldest children that she raised was just 3 years younger than herself. She was born in 1813, and Daniel Cox was born in 1816. So she looked after Daniel Cox and younger brothers and sisters, both in Vandalia, the first capital. And since Cox was very much a politician, then they were among the founding families of Springfield, Illinois, and Nance continued to raise children there, as well as other household domestic duties, along with her older brother, Reuben, and younger sister, Dicey.
Okay. You know, I'm just looking at the clock. We do need to take a break here, unfortunately. So I'm gonna put a pause in this conversation. We're going to resume in just a moment. I'm speaking with Carl Adams, who's the author of the book Nance, The Trials of the First Slave Freed by Abraham Lincoln, a true story of Mrs. Nance Leggins Cosley. And also Catherine Harris, who I'm going to bring into the conversation as soon as we get back. She's the former president of the Abraham Lincoln Association and former president of the Illinois Library Association as well. We're going to continue in just a moment. This is The 21st. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking about Nance Leggins Cosley for the rest of the show today. If you want to join our conversation, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. As we heard just before the break, she was born in the early 1800s into indentured servitude. Essentially, she was in bondage, and she fought a long battle for her freedom, went multiple times before the Illinois Supreme Court. Ultimately, Abraham Lincoln joined her case near the end there, and eventually she was able to secure her freedom. Catherine, I should mention, I'm speaking with Carl Adams, who's the author of the book Nance, Trials of the First Slave Freed by Abraham Lincoln, A True Story of Mrs. Nance Leggins Cosley, and Catherine Harris, former president of the Abraham Lincoln Association. And Catherine, I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that aspect of things that I was just mentioning. I mean, Nance is often referred to as an enslaved person. Illinois was supposedly a free state. Can you talk about the legal situation at the time she was born and a young woman?
Well, Illinois was, quote, a free state, but there was something called indentured servitude. And for all intents and purposes, one could be indentured for life. And or up to 98 years, for life, for all intents and purposes. And Nance was indeed that to Mr. Cox and Mr. Cromwell. So she really was not free, but she was determined to be free. And for the time, she was determined to be free and went to court. And can you imagine at that point in time someone having the audacity, the spirit, the oomph to do that. But that's what she did.
And as a teenager, right? I mean, not just,
yes,
I mean, at her age and woman. At the time. Yeah.
Yes. she had quite a bit of oomph, or whatever you would care to call
yes.
it.
Yeah, chutzpah, I don't know what the word is. I better not venture into that.
That's the word I was thinking of.
Okay, Carl, let's pick up the story then. Age 13, Nance, I don't know if you say she was sold or her sort of indentured servitude contract was sold. This is the beginning of her fight for freedom. Now, it would take an entire show alone to go into these court cases, but can you just tell us a little bit about her first attempts to win her freedom?
Yeah, well, her first attempt was not directed by her at all. She was basically a pawn. You could even say that when she was confined, she'd become a state-level political prisoner, because there was right after a big fight between pro-slavery legislators and anti-slavery citizens. The legislators wanted to make Illinois a perpetual slavery state by constitutional amendment. And the citizens fought back against that. They didn't want that. So they made a referendum in 1823 to be voted on in 1824. And for the next 18 months, there was a big fight over slavery. And finally, the people voted it out, two-thirds to one-third vote breakdown. Now, in the meantime, the man who was directing the constitutional amendment fight was Thomas Cox, Nance's master. And he owned a boarding house which catered to lawyers and senators. And so they were always talking about law around her. And what they didn't realize was, even though she was a 13-year-old girl at the time and she was not supposed to speak, it definitely did not close her ears. While she was not an educated person ever, she certainly was not stupid. She was paying attention to what was going on, and that was her initial drive. But she was taken to court by white men, being fought over by white men. And so she was taken to court as a victim. And the only way she could have gone to court under the Constitution was the habeas corpus law, that she could be brought into court by someone who objected to her confinement. And then the person who was confining that person was required to have the body of that person in court. And once that happened, the real hero of the story was Supreme Court Justice Samuel Lockwood. He was the only avowed abolitionist of the four members on the Supreme Court, and he permitted her to testify. And when I found that testimony, I knew I was holding history. And that was when my fingers started to tremble. I thought, my God, this is a black woman who's in court. How did this even happen? Because there were laws against black people going to court. But since she was brought in by white men, but the Supreme Court justice allowed her to testify, that's what opened her to history.
Interesting, interesting. Catherine, can you talk a little bit about the conclusion of her fight? And I should mention, one of our producers on the show suggested moxie would be another word for to describe Nance.
Intestinal fortitude.
Yes, there you go, that too. Yeah, So Catherine, what about, how does her Supreme Court fight end? How does Abraham Lincoln come to be a part of her story?
Well, because Mr. Lincoln, who was, and I'm choosing my words very carefully here, he was anti-slavery, but not necessarily an abolitionist. And there is a difference between the two. He was opposed to slavery, but he did want to help his friend, Mr. Bailey, to Nance in her fight for freedom. And much as you said, even though she was young, she wasn't stupid, and she listened, and she could think, which was something that a lot of folks at the time thought black people could not do. Her fight for freedom did help Mr. Lincoln clarify and solidify his own ideas about slavery. And he argued about the language that was used in the Northwest Territory and the Constitution. I think Charles mentioned something about the Constitution just a little bit before. Every person is free without regard to color. The sale of a free person is illegal, and Nance was indeed free.
Interesting. You know, Catherine, we often hear about Nance in the context, well, I shouldn't say often, because a lot of people have not heard this story, but when we
never heard of her.
Right, right. When we do hear about Nance, it's in the context of Lincoln. But why is her story important individually? And why do you think she has been overlooked as a historical figure?
Well, those are very interesting questions. Probably because when Mr. Lincoln did this, Mr. Lincoln wasn't the Mr. Lincoln that we know as the 16th president. He was still a young lawyer at the time.
Abe from down the block, right?
Kind of, sort of. And so that's probably why he is not as well known as for this case as he is for, you know, the proclamation and the war and all of that, because this was in his early career. Because Mr. Lincoln was actually, he was a railroad attorney for the Illinois Central. And that's where he made his mark. But
her, what about her? There is value in hearing her story separate beyond Lincoln, right? Not just as sort of a footnote
right,
in his career, but in
it
herself.
It is a story of her desire to be a free woman, to be free. I am sure that the fire of freedom, so to speak, and the desire to be free was burning in her belly. And she was going to do everything that she could at her tender age to be free. And so she did the things that she did to secure her freedom.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Catherine Harris, former president of the Abraham Lincoln Association, and Carl Adams, who's a Lincoln scholar and author of Nance, The Trials of the First Slave Freed by Abraham Lincoln, A True Story of Mrs. Nance, Liggins Cosley. And Carl, time is tight, so we need to fast forward a little bit. Can you talk about her life in Pekin? She became a beloved figure in that community, and that community is not necessarily known for its racial tolerance. Can you talk a little bit about her life after freedom?
Yeah, not anymore. When she was first there, she was one of the founding mothers of Pekin, Illinois. And she was surrounded by young pioneer women who had left the grandmothers behind and they were moving out into the pioneer West to start their new lives. And so they did not have a hospital. There was only one doctor. And he went, in those days, women took care of women when it came to childcare. And one of the big motivations for Nance was when she got pregnant in 1836, she was not only looking at her own situation, but the future of her children. That was her primary motivation, I believe, for the next step in the court process, was that she had to do it for her children. She wanted her children to be free. But in the community, she was one of the first there. And so she was experienced. And then there were still some rough times. Like I said, there was no hospital. It was only one doctor. And pregnancy and childcare was, and birthing was all taken care of by the women. So Nance was undoubtedly an experienced midwife. And she was young and healthy and strong. And so when the frontier diseases rolled in, they had scarlet fever, they had malaria, and they eventually then got cholera, which was an extremely dangerous disease. And one estimate in the history books was that up to half of the population died. At least half the population got sick, and 30-40% of them died. And yet Nance not only lived through it, she was bestowed with a tremendous reputation for helping her neighbors, in spite of the fact she was surrounded by a 95% white population. The people just loved her. She was always involved.
Interesting. All right, I think we have time to get in one phone call here. Cheryl is on line 4 from Bloomington. Cheryl, thanks for calling in.
Hello. I just wanted to say I just think it's really, really sad, and it's unconscionable that this woman went through so much in life. And even in death, she was not afforded the dignity of having a proper burial. And there's other groups in society. They are constantly telling us, lest we never forget. But it seems like she has been forgotten.
All right. Thank you so much, Cheryl, for calling in. Carl, maybe you can talk about that. I mean, she was buried in a cemetery, but then at some point the city paved over that and made it a parking lot and a business area, right?
Yeah. Well, the cemetery went defunct in 1905. And of course, in 1905, there were totally different attitudes. And it was an old pioneer cemetery. And by the 1830s, it had fallen into disrepair. And there was no one apparently willing to maintain the cemetery. And apparently it may have been closed simply because it was overcrowding. It was not a large cemetery. And there were about 3,000 burials there going all the way back to the 1830s. In fact, a Civil War veteran was buried there. A Revolutionary War was also buried there, as well as some French pioneers. And so it was a very old cemetery, but it was also very small. And once it became overcrowded, the city just simply closed it because apparently there was no more room. And then it fell into disrepair. And so eventually, I guess to increase their tax base, they wanted to put that land to use with something. And they apparently had no regard for human remains at the time, even though they put out proper that all the people should relocate their graves. There were families who had just simply died off and there was nobody to relocate the graves. Sure. And the city apparently did not want to take that on for themselves.
Well, we are almost out of time. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we're almost out of time. Just briefly, sure. I understand you're working on some way to memorialize her at the site.
Absolutely. We have a small group of private citizens, all volunteers, working to come up with a grave site. And then eventually, because of the fact we've already ordered a historical marker, but that's over $3,000. And until we can become a 501c tax-free type thing, we've got to put together an organization and get the paperwork done for state and federal. And because of the fact of both Lincoln and Nance, we're looking possibility at grants, but we are still taking collections. The first collection I got was an email yesterday going all the way up to the state of Maine. So this story is really catching on.
We will continue to follow this story and update our listeners more when we hear more back from you. Carl Adams is the author of Nance, Trials of the First Slave Freed by Abraham Lincoln, a true story of Mrs. Nance Leggins Cosley. We've also been speaking with Catherine Harris, former president of the Abraham Lincoln Association and the Illinois Library Association. Thank you both for being here today. And that is all the time we have. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.